You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Relax, don't panic. Pastor Tim Ingram did not age suddenly overnight. I am not him. But boy, I'm glad that you're here today, and it's a great honor for me to be asked by Pastor Tim to bring a message here. My name is Bill Leckie. If you don't know who I am, my name is Bill Leckie. I'm one of the elders. It's my privilege to serve as one of the elders here at High Ridge Longview. Pastor Tim and Pastor Tina, they are in Graham, Texas, at High Ridge Church Graham. That's where they are this morning. So very glad that you chose to come out. And of course, if we'd have told you who was speaking, you probably stayed home, wouldn't you? Oh, okay. I'm just messing with you. Glad to have all of those joining us online this morning. Hey, a big shout out to all of our volunteers who worked so hard so that the daddy-daughter banquet last night, that daddy-daughter dance, that was great. Hey, thank you so much for being such a generous people, not only with your funding, with your finances, but with your time and your talents, and you show up to serve. We are so grateful for that. And how many of you went? See your hands? Awesome. Well, I'm going to bring a message here today. And the title of the message, I don't want you to get too fearful here. I just want you to relax. Just look at the person next to you and say, just brace yourself. Yeah. I'm bringing a message entitled, Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Now just relax. Take a deep breath. I want to say here at the beginning that this idea of a spirit of fear comes right out of 2 Timothy, which we're going to read here in a few moments. And it is not something that it happens because we've done something wrong. It's not something that it must be a flaw in us. Every human being on the face of the earth experiences fear in some level or another. Some of that fear is for our survival, right? It's how we respond to it and how we embrace it. Some words used in the New Testament for the word fear actually mean a reverential respect, right? So that's why we'll read sometimes about the fear of the Lord. It's not being afraid of God like, ah! It's more a matter of recognizing who he is and properly honoring him. Now, the verse we're going to read here this morning is out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is what it says, but I'm going to tell you what it says above it and behind it a little bit for context before we read it. Here's the thing. Timothy was a pastor in a difficult city. He was a young man as a pastor. His mentor was the Apostle Paul, who was working with him and helping him and encouraging him. So right before our verse of scripture, Paul is reminding him of some things. He's reminding him of the faith that his grandmother had, how strong the faith that his mother had, and saying to him, affirming to him, I know you also have this strong faith in you. And then he says these words. Well, actually, he says, stir up the gift in you, reminding him. There's a gift. God's called you. There's purpose. Then there's this scripture. For God has not given, say that with me, God has not given. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you know us inside and out, and that in your word, you give us guidelines and help to be able to live the most abundant, rich life of meaning that is possible. So, Lord, we receive the leading of the Holy Spirit today to be our guide, our teacher, and our instructor in all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone next to you and say this, I hope this is good. I'll take that as a prayer, right? You're praying for me. You're praying for me. Hope this is good. The word used that Paul uses here is not the word we often think of when it comes to fear. We're like, you know, being terrified or shocked. The word is the word that means basically this. It's dalia is the Greek word. I looked it up. Don't be impressed. And it means timid. and even can be translated cowardly. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. This spirit of fear, this timidity, and even a little bit of cowering back and not wanting to step forward, always shows up when we're about to step in to the purposes of God. It shows up when we are getting ready to say yes to something God is asking from us. Now, I want you to understand that if you've experienced that, it's normal. It's normal. When we have that happen, in fact, we can actually learn to receive some encouragement from it, because if that's starting to show up, it's a sign that I'm about to say yes to something I should probably say yes to. And it's important that we set all that we're saying today in that context. The spirit of fear shows up when we're about to say yes. I wrote it this way. It'll come up on the screen. The spirit of fear seeks to inhibit our willingness to engage in the purposes of God for our lives. It succeeds when we allow it to make us more concerned about what might happen than the meaning and the impact of embracing His purpose can have on our lives. This is the mission of the spirit of fear. And here's the thing. Depending on how you grew up, depending on what your background is, you may have heard messages on fear that shamed you for being afraid, told you never be afraid, and if you were afraid, you're probably not a good Christian. I'm sorry that that happened to you, because it's not true. It's a lie. Fear is a human emotion. God knows our physiology and our psychology. He knows us inside and out. And what He gives us is guidelines in the Word to help us, not to hinder us. Somebody needs to hear that. Might have been me. Paul is addressing this timidity. He's in a hard place. He was in Ephesus. This was a hard city. It was very resistant to the gospel. He was pastoring as a young man in one of the hardest cities in the world outside of Longview. Or Gilmer. Or Marshall. Or Tyler. Or Dallas. Or San Antonio. Or any other city in our nation, because our culture and the enemy stirs up resistance to the good news. He always does. He shows up and causes issues. So Paul is trying to encourage him. Hey, it'll be all right. Paul was writing to him in prison because he was preaching the gospel. He got thrown in prison for it, and he's encouraging Timothy. Hey, don't, that spirit of fear you're experiencing, God's not giving you that. But He is giving you something else. But let me just say this. There are three things about the purposes of God that we get wrong. We talk about it all the time, right? In fact, there are four things that we want for every person at High Ridge. We want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover purpose and ultimately make a difference. Right? That's who we are. It's what we want. Everything we do is around those four things. It's important that we understand that we don't always think about God's purposes correctly. Some of us might think, oh, I'm stepping into the plan and purposes of God. This is going to be awesome. And it will. But here's something we get wrong about it. Number one, it will be easy. Nope. It's simple. It's going to be awesome. But it's not easy. It won't be easy. Here's the second thing. There will be no opposition. Nope. That's strike two. No, the enemy will always oppose what's best for you. The enemy will always oppose. There will always be opposition to the purposes of God, because that's not what the enemy wants for you. He knows that there's a life of impact and difference and influence if you say yes. So the spirit of fear comes to try and make us say no to the things we should say yes to. Here's the third one that we get wrong. It will always feel comfortable and safe. It almost never feels comfortable and safe, because we're in a transformation process. We're learning, we're growing, we're being stretched, we're being called into areas maybe we've not walked into before. The purposes of God for our life are significant, but they're not these three things. Sometimes we're like, man, oh man, I just want to get there. God, just want to drop back and say, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Just get me there. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. I don't know if that would be fun either. That might not be good. It's important for us to think about this today. I want to give you three keys to overcoming a spirit of fear. All right? You with me? Turn to somebody next to you and say, it might get good. Hang on. Number one, rely on his power. Yes. Rely on his power. The word used here for power in the Greek is dunamis. It means strength, power, but it implies supernatural or miraculous power. In other words, power other than your own strength. I know a lot of people trying to live a good Christian life in their own strength. Good luck. It's not going to go well. I'm just going to tell you now. It's not going to go well. You're going to get burned out. You're going to get frustrated, disappointed. All that stuff's going to happen. You can't do it in your strength. We were never intended to. Never intended to do that. God calls us into partnership. We're not entrepreneurs. We work with him. It's important that we keep that in mind. It's not my ministry, it's his ministry. It's not my church, it's his church. It's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. And his purposes always align with that. So how do we overcome the spirit of fear? Well, we recognize, let me put it this way. If you knew, found out your assignment was to clear a forest, which by the way, that would not be cool. That'd be a hard assignment. But if it was your assignment, you're going to clear a forest, would you rather have an axe or a chainsaw? Why? It's powered, right? It's powered. I don't have to supply all the power. The axe is totally dependent on my strength to get it done. Here's the thing. We were created by God to partner with him. I wrote it out this way. We are not expected to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our life in our own strength. He gives us supernatural assistance as we choose to obey his leading and embrace his purpose. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We could read that when we embrace the power available to us through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to impact and have influence in Longview, in Texas, in the U.S., and abroad. Well, come on, Bill. I mean, we're just Longview. No, you're not. I call that stinking thinking. We're just Longview. We're just Longview. You know what people said about Jesus? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, you tell me. You tell me. Here's the thing. I believe that when we choose to say we're partnering with him and we're going to rely on his power. Now, we're not going to sit back and just say we're not doing nothing. We have a role to play. We cooperate. It's going to be a journey. It's things that we do, but we are reliant on him, his power. Why? Because it keeps us from frying ourselves. It keeps us. He's protecting us. Here's the second key to overcoming the spirit of fear. Not only do we need to rely on his power, we need to learn to rest in his love. The Greek word there is agape. It's significant. I was reading it one time and I thought it said agape. It's not. It's agape. It's agape. Different meanings. The issue. Sorry. I know you tuned in expecting someone completely different. It's all right. It's all right. You get what you get. Basically, this is an unconditional kind of love that cannot be earned. It can only be given. Unconditional love that cannot be earned. It can only be given. And God is at its source. In fact, it's important that we recognize this. I wrote it down like this. You are loved based on his initiative, not your performance. I'm going to say that again. You are loved based upon His initiative, not your performance. This is how we trust God to have our ultimate good in mind as we step into His purpose. It's resting in the fact that He loves me. See, the spirit of fear will come to remind us of our failure. The spirit of fear begins to say, last time you tried this, you did that. The last time you made an effort to say yes, it fell flat. You're a mess up. You're a screw up. You're not going to get this right. Spirit of fear traffics in performance. It's what it does. But we need to recognize the safety of a loving God who has already given us His love and acceptance. Already, because of the work of His Son. We are accepted. Paul said it another way in Ephesians. He said, we are already accepted in the beloved because of Jesus. That unconditional love that we cannot earn through any level of performance is already ours. And we have to make a choice to rest in that. It is our place of safety, knowing that regardless of the outcome, we are loved. That's liberating. It's liberating. It's not an excuse to do a poor job. It just keeps us from feeling the weight that I'm having to earn something from God, which is not true. Often, sometimes, maybe you schedule yourself a quiet time and you miss it, and the enemy says to you, hey, you might ought to wait a while. I think you've upset God. He's a little upset. Give Him some time to recover before you attempt your quiet time. You know, He's old. He's been around a long time. He's a little cranky. No. It's the exact opposite. Just get there as soon as you possibly can. Reconnect with Him. There's this media thing that I found that you probably don't know anything about it, so I'll just inform you. It's called YouTube. And I've discovered that I can search for topics of things that I'm interested in or I want to learn about. And I enjoy watching videos of survival stuff or people going out in the wilderness and building shelters and doing all this. I just enjoy watching it. And so I came across this one channel, and this is a man who has three sons that range in age from 2 to 10. Okay, so they're young. And in this channel, he actually films himself taking those three boys out into the middle of nowhere and camping and taking care of, you know, surviving. The one episode I remember watching, I'll never forget it, they were way up north in Alaska during the winter. There's probably 10 feet of snow, and he's taking those kids up there. And so I'm watching this. This could be a train wreck. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm watching this. But there he was. And what I noticed is, and the Lord really spoke to me. I don't know how the Lord speaks to you, but he spoke to me watching this. He said, pay attention. And this guy had made extra provision and gone out of his way to provide extra protection so that his sons could learn that they could survive in any situation and that he was watching out for them and he was with them. He would take extra time. Now, he had a lot to do, so he had to build the structures and build the stuff with what was on hand, but he was taking, every time he would pause and he'd go back, check on them. How are you? Are you cold? Here, let's do this for you. Here's this. This will make you warmer. Here, come closer to the fire. And then he would go back to his task. And I thought, what a beautiful picture it is to rest in the love of God, who may call us into some harrowing adventures, but He's with us. And He's providing for us, and He will protect us, and His presence never leaves us. And He's always right there. Right there. It's important because I think Paul wanted Timothy to know that no matter the outcome, God's love for him was certain. Paul was writing this letter from prison. I'm sure it was going through Timothy's mind. You know, if I do this thing, I could land in prison too. And by the way, he did. He got out. But he did. Here's the reality. It's just not about that. It is the spirit of fear tries to tell us to say no when we know we should say yes. Let's keep it in that context. Because it happens to every person. It happens to any ministry. It happens to any church that decides to say yes to God's purposes. It will get challenged, and a spirit of fear will attempt to cause us to shy away. When we rest in the assurance of his love, what we do is we take away the platform for a spirit of fear. 1 John 4:18 and 19 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not yet been made perfect in love," which means just hasn't grown in a full understanding of what love is. "We love him because he first loved us." Here's the third way we overcome a spirit of fear. We renew our mind. Now, if you've grown up in church, been around church, you've heard this phrase, probably ad nauseum. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. Hey, I'm struggling. Will you pray? You just need to renew your mind. Well, I'm dealing with some stuff. It's kind of bad. You just need to renew your mind. To the point where we might want to respond something like this. What is it? Is it one and done? How do I do that? We don't answer that question very well usually in the church. We just tell people, do something. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. Well, just renew your mind. You'll be fine. Let's talk about why it matters. You remember I said earlier that God knows not only our physiology, he knows our psychology. And the reason that we find scripture references about renewing our mind is that God knows how powerful our minds are. And that they can be greatly beneficial to us, our thought processes, or they can really be harmful. And that's everyone here in this room and listening online. This is a human thing. And the reason God tells us in the scriptures that we need to renew our mind, Paul talks about this in multiple places, not just here with Timothy. He says he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. What does that mean? Well, the Greek word is sophronismo, and it means self-control, discipline, and a sound mind. Well, that was very helpful, Bill. Thank you for sharing that. Paul in another place said that we have weapons that are not of our flesh. In other words, they're not ours. We have power to do something very important. And that is to capture thoughts and bring them into obedience to what we know to be true or the word of Christ. Why does he give us these admonitions? Because God knows that if we don't recognize that this is available to us, our thoughts can carry us weird places. Things can get difficult. Things can get challenging. We can actually start to create processes that can be destructive. And so the admonition is not say, shame on you for thinking those things. It's a call to say, come think these things. Come think these things. Because they will help you. And it's important that we realize it. It's basically, what is renewing the mind? It is basically recognizing trails and trains of thought that are playing, the playlist is playing in our head. It's just on loop. Got a playlist going in our head. And being able to say, is this helpful? Or is this harming me? Is this playlist making things better for me, or is it making things harder for me? Just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. Yeah. Right? And so what Paul is telling Timothy is like, hey, just a sound mind is part of what God promises. It can be had. You can do this. You can choose to edit the playlist in your head. You might need help. Some people might have to help us get a grip on the playlist and help us go, no, that's not right. I tell you, the church does such a poor job of helping people understand that asking for help is good. Instead, we stigmatize it or we shame people about it or whatever. The church should be the first to step up and say, if you're struggling, get some help. It's good. It's a good thing. So sometimes we get to a place where we need someone to help us and walk us through, so that we can begin to edit a playlist in our heads. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is the one that tells us that we have this ability with power beyond our own strength. I wrote it down this way. Editing the playlist in your head is key to having a sound mind. In 2017, I was a part of a massive reduction in force in a very large organization. I'd only been there about 14 months. I wasn't terribly surprised, being a relatively new person, that I got swept into that great reduction in force. However, it still bothered me. I'm just being honest with you. I was bothered. And so I took a moment, and the next day, I found this out on Thursday evening, and Friday was a day off anyway, so I took Friday, and I grabbed my iPad, and I started to journal my thoughts. We're all wired a little differently, but for me, it helps when I get out what I'm thinking. I don't filter it. I just write what I'm thinking. And it's funny, I went back and reread this not long ago, and it's really funny to read, because it starts off with, "This is terrible. This is awful. I can't believe this happened. Why would they do this? They said this and did that." And then just, and then the next paragraph is, "That's not true. That's not what really happened. That's not what was going on." So I can see my, as I read, I'm editing my playlist as I went. But I knew how important it was, because if I was going to move forward, I not only needed to identify what was playing in my head, I needed to edit it as best I could. We find in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable to the perfect will of God." Philippians 4, 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Another place Paul talks about the importance of how we think. And here he gives us a filter. Take your playlist and run it through that filter. Why? Because God doesn't want us to hear good music? Don't be listening to the devil's music. No, he wants us to have that filter because it's what's best for our health. It's what's good for us. It's out of love. It's not out of restriction. So let me just kind of bring this thing in and land it here. I think I put it on the screen this way. A sound mind is key to understanding his love for us, and that we're not left to fend for ourselves. How do we spot a bad playlist in our mind? I want you to go away with something practical today. Is that okay? Yes. All right. How do you spot a bad playlist in your mind? Ask these three questions. Number one, is it true? How do I know if it's true? What's your source? Is the source trustworthy? What does the Bible say about it? What does the Word say about it? What does the Word tell us about how God views you? If you've got a playlist in your head that is contrary to what it says, it's not a good playlist for you. It's not a good playlist for you. Number two, is it helpful? Is that playlist running in your head on a loop in your mind, is it helping you or is it harming you? Is it helping you or is it hindering you? And by the way, you might go, "This thing's hindering me," and you may still need to get someone to help you process it. Yes. That's good. Yes. It's a good thing. But you need to identify it. We need to identify it. That's not a good playlist. Here's a third one. This might surprise you. Is it kind?
Come on. Good. That's good.
Is this kind? Is what I'm thinking, is it being kind? Or is it being abusive? Are these harsh, judgmental, accusatory words that I'm allowing to play in my head? If so, we know that's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. So we identify these playlists, and we know that we have the power to edit them. But here's something very important. When you edit your playlist in your head, if you delete one, it's important to replace it with a new and healthy one. It's important to replace it. Yes. You need to upload some new playlists in your noggin. And this is true for everybody. This is all of us. I hope this is encouraging you today. I hope that you're going, "Okay, I'm not weird." Well, you might be weird, but not for this reason. Not for this reason. Just remember this. You're not alone. You have help available. You are loved. And you can have a healthy playlist in your mind. Yes. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. This morning, I just would like to ask this simple question. How many of us today would be honest enough to say, I need to overcome the spirit of fear in my life? If that's you, would you just lift your hand? Guys, I want to pray for us. Thank you. Many hands. Father, I pray right now for every person who raised their hand and even those who didn't. I pray right now that the realization of your goodness, your love, your mercy, your kindness would dawn on us afresh. I pray, Father, that right now in this moment, we would avail ourselves of power beyond our ability. That we would recognize that you love us beyond our performance. And that we would look to you for guidance as we edit out the things that give a spirit of fear something to mess with. Father, today we pray that that spirit of fear would be cut off, silenced, and removed from our experience as we embrace your power, your love, and the ability to have thoughts that keep us on track with your will and direction. We thank you for it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Now, with head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you're here today or watching online and you say, Bill, that's all great and good, but I don't know that I have that kind of relationship with God that you're describing. Because, I mean, I know about church, or maybe I know about religion, or maybe I've never known anything about either of those, but I don't have that. Well, I got good news for you. You can today. I would ask you, if that's you and you're like, I want that. I want that kind of relationship with God where his power and his love and the ability to have a sound mind, I want that. Then I'm going to ask you to simply pray a prayer with me. It's not a magic formula. It's just a simple prayer. What matters is you can pray it in your head, you can pray it in your heart, but what matters is that you believe it when you pray. So if that was you, I want you just to pray with me right now and say these basic words. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you lived a sinless life. You died on the cross for my sin. You rose again so that I could have life and relationship with you. I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me. And now come in and take charge. I will follow you the rest of my days. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer with me just now, I just want to ask you if you'd do one thing for me with every head bowed, eyes closed, nobody really looking around here. If you prayed that prayer, you believed it, would you just lift your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much. We don't want to leave you hanging. This is the beginning of your walk with Jesus. It's not the end. So I would just ask you to take one other step. Would you text the words I prayed to 844-HRC-TEXT? We have some resources that we can send to you that we think will help you on your journey now in a relationship with Christ. We are so excited that you have made this decision. Those of you watching online, send us the text I prayed, 844-HRC-TEXT. And we'll get you links to those resources so that you can take the next steps. Well, High Ridge family, let's stand up together. There were 5 people who prayed that prayer in this room today. And we rejoice. We rejoice in that. We want to invite our elders and wives to come forward and be available to pray with you. If you have any need that you would like prayer with, maybe it's related to the message, maybe it isn't. We will always want to make room and give opportunity for prayer. So our elders and their wives are coming forward. And please, when we dismiss here in just a moment, make your way down front for prayer. They'll be happy to pray with you. They might even smile. Maybe. I think they will. I don't want to speak for them, but please smile. Yeah, it'll be good. We're so grateful you joined in with us online. Thank you, each and every one of you, for being here today in these services. We are so, so happy that you did. Let me speak a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for every family, every individual, every household represented here and online. God, I speak a blessing over them as they walk their walk and say yes to the purposes of God in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.